Welcome to Wild and Awake, an online retreat where you deepen your consciousness, arouse your courage, and choose with wisdom. We are exploring the question, how do I live my best life right now? I am your host, Kari Vantine. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wild and Awake. Today, we are absolutely blessed to have with us one of my favorite people, Susan Weed. Susan, welcome to our show.
I am so thrilled to be here. What a delight.
What a delight to have you. Susan, you are one of the heroes in my life in large part because of your teachings, your books, and the ways that the work that you have done has actually given me real practical handheld support. I'm going to just flash the book that we're going to be talking quite a bit about today. And I'm going to jump in with your bio here so people can have a little background on you. First of all, I want to say, what is that gorgeous flower behind you?
This is Hypericum perforatum. Let me move this way so you can see her a little bit better.
She's quite gorgeous. Blown up.
She's not quite that big. She's actually about this big. And this is one of my favorite herbs. I tincture these fresh flowers in vodka and I make an oil from the fresh flowers, and it does everything. It's a sunscreen. It prevents and relieves muscle aches. It's antiviral. It improves your mood. It just goes on and on and on. And yet people are afraid of this plant. In France, it's banned. In Germany, if you're a midwife and you suggest it to one of your women, you can lose your license. And even in American schools, some American herbal schools won't teach about it because they're afraid of it. So last year we did the Comfrey Conference, Time to End the Fear, and did. And this year we're doing the Hypericum Conference, Time to End the Nonsense.
Beautiful.
SusanWeed.com.
Yes, that's a great way to introduce us as we go in here, because what we're talking today, we're going to be talking a lot about the power of the plants. And the power of the plants is something that can be deeply exciting and also it can be misunderstood. So we get to play in that territory. Beautiful. Susan Weed, a green witch and wise woman, is an extraordinary teacher with a joyous spirit, a powerful presence, and encyclopedic knowledge of herbs and health. She is the voice of the wise woman way, where common weeds, simple ceremony, and compassionate listening support and nourish health, will wholeness, and holiness. She has opened hearts to the magic and medicine of the Green Nations for decades. Ms. Weed's 6 herbal medicine books focus on women's health topics, including menopause, childbearing, and breast health. Susan's newest book, Abundantly Well, 7 Medicines, is already being hailed as a landmark, critically needed and timely. It redefines patient-centered care. Susan, that's just a beautiful way for us to jump in, because I think your books have been, for many of us out here who are book readers and herb lovers and committed to our personal health in a maybe a little bit more non-traditional way, we've been using your books to help us choose a different way of relating to our bodies. And all of these books, I know, are written from this place of the wise woman, the wise woman way. Would you first bring us in to tell us, what does that mean? What is the wise woman way?
Well, let me start when I was a child.
Yes.
And there was always one very exciting, very important day every year. And everything was new, right down to my underwear. And then I was taken off to the doctors, where the doctor looked at me in ways that no other adult looked at me in, and did things that no other adult did. And at the end of this, the doctor would look at my mother and say, she's in perfect health. And so what I learned was that I had nothing to do with that.
As though it was something someone else would look at and diagnose, like looking at the car at the auto shop.
Right. It wasn't me and I wasn't involved in it. And then the doctor would give me a shot. Mm-hmm. And so the second thing that I learned was, in order to be healthy, you had to use medicine.
Yeah.
And like most of the people that I grew up with, antibiotics were going to solve all of the problems of the world, certainly infection problems, but they didn't solve my bladder infection problem. And I was at UCLA in the cafeteria, and there was this ancient woman there. I don't know, she must have been 30.
Blessed be.
This was back in the 60s when the students were all under 20. Right? This wasn't like the mixed ages that are in a college or a university now. It was really, you know, segregated by age. And so it was really remarkable. And I went and I sat next to her and I said, "So what's an old woman like you doing here at college?" And she said, "Career change." And I said, "Well, what awful career did you have that you're changing horses midstream here? I want to know so I never go anywhere near it." And she said, "Public health." I said, "What's so bad about that?" She said, "If I see another young woman going into kidney failure from being given," and she named a specific antibiotic to deal with bladder infections, "I'm just going to, you know, melt down." And I said, "Does that antibiotic turn your pee orange?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "My gosh, I've taken an ocean of that."
Oh, my goodness.
It was the first time that anybody had ever mentioned, intimated at all to me that taking drugs could harm me.
Yeah.
It had always been put out that they were going to save me and cure me and be the thing. And I was stunned. And at this same time, I started taking birth control pills. And when I went to get the second round of birth control pills, I said to them, "Do you think I could be pregnant?" And they said, "Did you take a birth control pill every day?" And I said, "Every single day." And they said, "Then you're not pregnant." And I said, "Well, my period wasn't very heavy this month. And I gained 5 pounds and my breasts are bigger." And they said, "Those are side effects of taking the pill."
Mm-hmm.
Which they are. Yes. So this went on until my daughter started kicking. Because I was pregnant. So now I'm 5 months pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And I am not going to take any drugs. Because, well, already I've taken 5 months worth of birth control pills while I was pregnant and nobody had any idea. I was like one of the first cohorts of women to take birth control pills in the United States. So I decided pretty much out of nowhere that I would use herbs instead.
Wow. And did you have any background to make that decision?
Not that I knew of.
So cool, Susan.
Not that I knew of. Oh, you know, long after I had become an herbalist, you know, 20, 30 years into it, one of my aunts said to me, "Do you know that you had a great grandmother who was an herbalist in Switzerland?"
Really?
So it is way, way back there, but it certainly wasn't like present or anything I would have, you know, my mom had the usual parsley and sage and rosemary kind of garlic things in the kitchen, nothing herbal at all. And I wanted to have a garden. And back then the seed packages didn't show you what the sprouts looked like. And so when I sowed the seeds, of course, all the weeds came up too, and I didn't know which was which. And Yul Gibbons came into this with stocking the healthful herbs.
Yes, yes.
And I was hooked. The stuff that I hadn't planted in my garden was better than the stuff I had planted.
Yes. Oh my goodness. What a great way to begin.
So basically, I started as most people in Western culture will start in the scientific tradition. Mm-hmm. The scientific tradition measures you. And if you measure up, well, we can't actually ever say that you're healthy. We can only say that you're not sick. And we can't even really be sure that you're not sick. And we're going to do tests to see whether or not you're sick. And we can't from these tests tell you if you're actually healthy, but we could tell how not sick you are. Mm-hmm. And so it's very unsettling, and there's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
It's very stressful. And it is on those two foundations of your health has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. And you're dependent on the authorities and drugs. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to make you healthy. So you have to go for those tests, even though you know the tests themselves can harm you. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally the tests themselves, not even the over-treatment that the test might give. Right. So as I started getting interested in herbs, I found a lot of people with a us-them mentality, and they were part of alternative medicine. And one of my teachers told me that she refused to treat someone because she had gone to a Western doctor and was contaminated.
Yeah.
I didn't like this. I didn't even like being alternative. So I thought about what I wanted to be, and I decided what I wanted to be was complementary.
Ah.
And my word really took off. They kind of smashed it on top of alternative, so it became complementary alternative medicine. You know? So the scientific tradition had failed me in a way, and I went looking for alternative and didn't like alternative, so I called it complementary. But really what it was heroic. And there was a lot of fighting, and you fought yourself, and you fought other people, and you fought your desires, and you fought your body. And that didn't seem to me to be the way to be healthy.
Right. And what we're talking about right now, to frame this for our audience, is a breakdown of models of ways that we're relating to our medical or our health alternatives, or the way we relate to ourselves. So we have the scientific, and then we have the heroic.
Right. The scientific, which measures and fixes.
Mm-hmm.
And the heroic, which cleanses and balances. Now, cleansing and balancing seems so right. Many people don't even really think about them at all. Mm-hmm. But let's have a little practice in balance. Please take a very deep breath and hold it. Now, so long as you are holding that breath, you are balanced. But the truth of the matter is, you can't hold that breath forever. You're going to have to let go at some point. Mm-hmm. Because life requires dynamic disequilibrium.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
In fact, so far as we know, there was a big bang. And all of space-time was completely filled with hydrogen atoms. And we would still be right there with space-time completely and totally filled with hydrogen atoms if there hadn't been a perturbation. And that perturbation caused a spiraling swirl of the hydrogen. So that it began to form into stars, and the stars burst apart and form more elements until at last we wind up with creatures like us on a planet around a star, all because there wasn't balance. So balance is actually the step that immediately precedes death. We want to avoid it at all costs. I was initiating shamans at a school in Holland, and one of the things that I asked people that I initiate to do is to make a commitment. The power of making a witnessed commitment is enormous. And I want them to make a commitment that's doable and that has a time frame. But one young man in this program, when it came time for him to make his commitment, said that he was committing to cleanse all the waters of the earth. And if you just ask yourself for a moment, what could possibly be wrong with this? Well, then you're almost immediately going to find yourself saying, and what's he going to do with what he's cleansed? Because you see, we live in a closed system. The earth is a closed system. Yes, we get energy from the sun, but that's about it. there's input. But other than that, so in a closed system, there can't be any toxins. I know this is heresy, right? I have been attacked for saying there aren't any toxins because a closed system can't tolerate toxins. Truly, I began to understand that there's only one rule, and that is I eat you and you eat me. So instead of trying to measure and fix or balance and cleanse, I decided what I wanted to do was to nourish and to see if it wasn't possible. One of my apprentices, who's a magnificent teacher and runs all kinds of stuff on her own now, she apprenticed a long time ago, just put out a bumper sticker that said, "What if nourishment works?" Because even the people, the nutritionists who are supposed to be telling you about nutrition, usually tell you to take pills. They're actually part of that scientific paradigm that says, trust me, I'm the authority, and here's your pill to take. And yet study after study shows that these pills, vitamin, mineral, herbal supplements, aren't what they're supposed to be. There's no oversight on them. And that they not only don't help you, they aren't benign. They can hurt you. So I ask myself, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get people to nourish themselves? Because you sure don't want to be telling people what to eat. That's not going to work. Don't set yourself up for failure here by telling people they should eat this and they shouldn't eat that. Not happening. So what I wanted was some kind of add-on that you could add on to whatever it is you're eating. And it would make you feel a lot better, no matter what you were eating, because that thing itself would be so nourishing to you. And I wanted it to be really simple. And I wanted it to be free or inexpensive. And I'm a very big fan of protein and minerals. And I think most people don't get enough protein or minerals in their diet.
I think not either.
So I started looking at herbs that were common, local in many places, so that they could be free or inexpensive, and that were high in protein and minerals. And those have become one of my very best ideas ever. And that is nourishing herbal infusions. Because nourishment does work. Whenever a woman says to me, oh, I have a diagnosis of osteoporosis, what should I do? The very first thing I say to her is stop drinking water.
Really?
Water is destroying your bones. Because most water doesn't have enough minerals in it. And that water is not going to hydrate you because your cells aren't made of water. They are protected by fat. Right? When you put water on your face, it makes it dry. So the more water you drink, the drier you get. And the more water you drink, and the more demineralized you become. So step one, stop drinking water. Instead, make nourishing herbal infusion. You need a small scale. You're going to preferably have a scale with a T-A-R-E, a tear function. And you're going to put a quart jar, hopefully a canning jar, on the scale, push T-A-R-E, and it will take away the weight of the jar. And you're going to put your dried herb, and I'll tell you what herb you might use, into your jar until it says 1 ounce. Take the jar off the scale, put the scale away, and you're going to boil water. And when the water's boiling, you're going to fill the jar right up to the very top. The wooden spoon, you might stir the herb around, put some more hot water, boiling water in there if you want to, and then put a lid on it, turn off the light and go to bed. Let it steep overnight. In the morning, you can either grab that jar, go to school, go to work, whatever you're going to do, or you can strain it squeezing the herb to get all the liquid out and put it in the refrigerator. You can drink it hot. You can drink it cold. You can have honey with it. You can have juice with it. You can drink whiskey with it, whatever you want. It's absolutely fine. It's good. As I said, this is an add-on. Yes. You don't have to change anything. Yeah. Some of my first herbal teachers in the heroic tradition said that herbalism was a matter of belief and that herbs wouldn't work for you if you didn't believe in them. But mm-hmm. I have not found that to be at all true. And that people who drink nourishing herbal infusions, even if they don't believe in them, are profoundly influenced. And I'm drinking the nourishing herbal infusions. Are you drinking them?
I have comfrey and nettle that I do on a real regular basis, comfrey mostly. And I just absolutely love it. It makes the beginning of my day, I just feel like it's deeply nurturing my body. Yeah. Thanks to you.
Yeah. It's a very easy breakfast for people who are like, don't make me eat breakfast types. I hear you. I'm supposed to eat breakfast, but I don't want to eat breakfast. So you drink your nourishing herbal infusions, you get your minerals, right? You get your protein, your blood sugar is stabilized all day long from drinking 10 ounces of nourishing herbal infusion. So you need to drink about a quart of liquid a day. So that's your quart of nourishing herbal infusion. You want to start your day with a cup of coffee? I'm all for it. Up to 5 cups of coffee a day definitely confer health benefits, right? Benefits for your brain, benefits for your heart, benefits for a lot of different things in your body. So you want your coffee in the morning, you go for it. You don't want coffee, but maybe later on, you want some tea, some green tea or some black tea. I'm all for it. And again, usually up to about 5 cups.
Wow.
Right. That's a fair amount. So you drink a quart of nourishing herbal infusion, your coffee, if you want some coffee, your tea, if you want some tea, you can even have a cup of hot chocolate. Mm. Coffee, tea, and chocolate are all loaded with polyphenols. Mm. This is some of the most medicinal plants in the world. There's good reason why virtually every person on the planet who has access to them consumes one or more of them on a daily basis, right? So keep on doing that and add a quart of nourishing herbal infusion. Beyond that, you certainly don't need any further fluids. You don't need to drink any water. Stinging nettle grows all over the world abundantly, one of the most protein-rich herbs in the world. And it is the herb of energy.
Mm-hmm.
When you drink nettle, you manifest your ideas.
Yeah.
And it's just a flow. It's not like, I can't get an idea. How do I get it out? It's like idea and shoop, it becomes reality.
Mm.
Nettle is amazing that way. Really good scientific studies in South America have found nettle capable of reversing type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
Not to even mention preventing it.
Mm.
And there's a lot of ways to get energy, but sometimes that energy like really takes away from your energy. Mm. But nettle builds your energy. It really is so incredibly restorative, especially during menopause. It's a wonderful drink during menopause.
So what I'm hearing is this phase that we're talking about in the health system, we would call this nourishing.
Nourishing. This is the wise woman tradition.
Yeah.
Nourishes.
The nourishing tradition.
The scientific tradition measures and fixes. And hey, when I had cancer, I was very glad that they knew about measuring and fixing.
There's a place for it. Yeah.
There's an absolute place for it. I'm not talking against it. Mm-hmm. But it didn't help me in menopause.
Yes.
And it didn't help me as a mother. It didn't help me in childbearing. And there was, just a lot of places. I fell in Costa Rica and I broke my wrist. I didn't know at the time that I had broken my wrist. It was about 11 hours to the nearest x-ray. So I just passed on that. And then when I got home, and it had been a little while, I thought, maybe I should go to a physical therapist. And she didn't want to work with me till I'd had an x-ray.
Mm.
So I went out and got an x-ray and I told him I thought I might have broken my wrist 3 months previously. And he came out with the x-ray. He said, you did break your wrist. He said, but 3 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
And I said, what do you mean 3 years ago? It was 3 months ago. And he said, no, from the amount of bone remodeling, I can tell it was 3 years ago. Comfrey.
Comfrey is amazing.
Comfrey, yes. For you, right? So 3 years worth of bone remodeling.
Within three months. Oh, Susan, that's beautiful. Just beautiful.
So this is the second thing you do. You stop drinking water if you are worried about your bone health, and you start drinking your nourishing herbal infusions. Comfrey actually contains constituents that promote the growth of cells that make new bone cells and inhibit the growth of the cells that eat the bones.
So stinging nettle and comfrey.
Stinging nettle, but not together.
Not together. So one or the other.
Separately. Well, mm-hmm. Those are just two of the five. We want to rotate through five herbs, right? Linden. Now, I'm sure that you've heard of turmeric. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've heard people talking about how wonderfully anti-inflammatory turmeric is.
All sorts of teas now. You really.
But it's not.
Ooh.
Unless it's prepared in a special way.
Okay.
Okay. So if we go to India, where the whole thing about turmeric started, the people in India have less inflammation. It's because of the turmeric they're eating. They always prepare turmeric first by cooking it in fat, usually ghee. And if you've ever made Indian food, you know that's how you start, right? You get your ghee hot and you put your cumin seed and your mustard seed and your turmeric and whatever else you're going to use in that oil, and you cook it. And then you put some dal or some rice in the oil. And then you add water and you bring it to a boil and you cook it for an hour. Now the turmeric can actually get into your body.
Yes, because we have the fat.
Because you have the fat.
Mm-hmm.
But you take turmeric in a capsule, it's not going to do anything. You take turmeric in your coffee, it's probably not going to do much of anything for you. However, and it doesn't grow around those people. It's a tropical plant. But there is a plant that grows around everyone in the temperate region called linden. Also called tilia, TL, lime blossom. Yes. All right. And it's a tree. And it's the flower of the tree. And they're big flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's one of its primary uses worldwide is to prevent coronaviruses.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And it's the world, I think it's the world's best anti-inflammatory. Oh, yeah. And did I mention it improves your mood?
Well, there we go. Let's plant some linden trees.
Plant some linden trees, right?
Susan, while we're on this thread of, we're talking about osteoporosis, which I know is one stage of growing older as a woman, I wanted to kind of thread back to this concept of as we're menopausal, which I am 5 years, I've stopped bleeding at 45. I'm 53 now. I have to always think what age I am. 53 now. And no one talked to me. I had no idea. Like, menopause was sort of a mystery. When all of a sudden it started happening to me, I was like, where do I go for information? I didn't know anything, really didn't know anything other than seeing older women go, like that they were hot. And your book was one of the first places that I went to as a resource. I've actually been using your Wise Woman books for years for my basic care. And then when it came to the time of needing it, your menopausal book came up for me, which is a really a powerful, handbook. When there's a really different way that you're talking about menopause than is, obviously we can feel that because of your whole layout of the medical system, but how do you see menopause that's perhaps really different than the regular, the way the normal system might? Because the way that you hold it then is also how you relate to it.
Experience it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to answer that. But let me just finish for a moment, because in fact, the last two herbs are especially important for menopausal
women. Oh, yes. So sorry. Okay. For osteoporosis.
Oat straw and red clover.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching in California and a woman said, Susan, I got to menopause and my libido, it went south. And then down there, It dried out like a sand dune with camels. She said, then I got that book, that purple book. She said, and yes. I started reading about oat straw. She said, oat straw. I started making oat straw infusion. She said, and down there turned into an oasis with date palms and dancing girls. She said, my libido came home with company.
That is a great description.
So,
right, and I guess it's good for osteoporosis too.
I want you to at least go through three of them. I want you to add oat straw there. You're right at the time, you know. I called it the frumpy 50s.
So whether or not we're in osteoporosis, part of what I'm hearing too is like all of these things, and this is what I love in your books, is we're preparing. It's not like, oh, suddenly I'm here and then I've got to fix it, which is really an old medical way. It's like, oh, I'm in my 50s. Now it's time for the big five and rotating. Mm-hmm.
But this is for everybody, from premature infants to people in their hundreds. Everyone benefits from drinking nourishing herbal infusions. And red clover is herbal tamoxifen. It's the herb that helps prevent breast cancer. So it's a very important one. So our rotation is stinging nettle, comfrey, linden, oat straw, red clover. Those are the five herbs that we rotate through in our infusions. I've been drinking a quart of one of those infusions daily for about 30 years.
And I have to say, Susan, you are one of the most energetic, beautiful, vital women. You are incredible. Look at you.
And I will be amazing. I will be 77 in 5 days. You know, as I said, I had a cancer diagnosis. And they swore to me that radiation would destroy the cancer. So I believed them. And those old teachings of believe the authority, die very hard. And it in fact didn't work. But I did at that point, say, well, I don't know. And you're telling me this is what's going to be. So, all right, we'll do that. But I began to see, as you were saying, that my story and their story were so different that it was very difficult to have them really come together.
Yeah.
And it was further overlaid and complicated for me because this was kind of at the very beginning of the COVID crisis. Mm. And so interacting in with the medical profession with the COVID was really gnarly. And to say, no, I'm having it my way in the face of all that was really even harder than it should have been. Yeah. But my experience with these nourishing herbal infusions is that you get your story changed by them. So I say, don't change your diet, let your diet change you. Somebody just said to me, she said, you know, those darn nourishing herbal infusions, now I don't gnaw my fingernails anymore. And I said, what? She said, I used to bite my fingernails. My fingernails were really soft and I would catch them and they'd break. And then I'd want to smooth it out and then I'd just like gnaw it down to the quick. She said, and now drinking these nourishing herbal infusions, my fingernails are too hard. They don't tear. And if I try to bite it, it's too tough for me to do that. She said, I can't even bite my fingernails anymore due to these nourishing herbal infusions. And this is a kind of funny thing, but this is what happens. You actually start craving the foods that are best for you. And you tolerate the stuff that isn't good for you anymore. It's not like anybody has to tell you what a good diet is for you. Your body already knows. And it's very happy to tell you. And somebody said, well, I don't know, Susan, with an attitude like that, I couldn't you just go out and get a hot fudge cocaine vodka sundae? Absolutely. I said, but if you're listening to your body, you would only do it once. So yes, try it all out. The scientific view of menopause is that the ovaries stop making estrogen, or your ovaries shut down, I've heard doctors say, and you become an unwanted, dried up husk of a woman. Many years ago, I was on a television show with an MD who held this view. It was a roundtable discussion on menopause. And as the show went on, he talked less and less. And finally, it was over, and they turned off the lights, and they turned off the cameras, and they turned off the microphones. And he turned to me, and he said, "You are going to ruin the life of any woman who listens to the insanity that you are promoting." He says, "The idea that menopause is power is absurd. It is the end of a woman's life. And the only way for her to survive menopause is to take hormones." He said, "I've stopped adding to this discussion because I couldn't really adequately counter you here on this show," he said. "But instead, what I've done is I've created a way to take away any possible power from menopause."
He so, actually said that?
He said that to me, yes.
Whoa.
So let me ask you this, Carrie. Remember back to when you were a teenager, and tell me about peripuberty.
Before puberty.
You weren't in peripuberty, were you? You were in puberty, right? There's no such thing as perimenopause, and I don't want to hear those words out of your mouth ever again.
Yeah.
Because that's the word he made up to take the power out of menopause. According to the scientific tradition, there's perimenopause, there's the one day of menopause, and then there's postmenopause. Yeah. So all the power has been leached out of it. So that's exactly the same thing they did to childbirth, right? The places of power for women, the scientific tradition will strip of that power, if at all possible, and tell you what you are supposed to be and what drugs you need in order to survive this.
And it becomes something.
The heroic tradition, on the other hand, will tell you that any symptoms you have are imbalances. And in fact, it's getting kind of old now, maybe written 15 years ago, but there was a book on natural medicine put out by two naturopathic doctors. And I bought it, and expensive book. And I looked up menstruation, and it said, only filthy women menstruate. Menstruation is the elimination of the filthy waste of women's bodies. Healthy women neither menstruate nor go through menopause. They are perpetually fertile.
We know that's not true.
You just have to wonder where these boys get their information. Well, perhaps from seeing women who go on very limited diets. If you go on a diet that completely excludes animal products, or if you go on a raw food diet, about a third of women who adopt those diets will become infertile within a year, and half of those women won't ever be fertile again. So they don't menstruate and they don't go through menopause.
Oh, interesting.
But neither are they capable of childbearing. So we've kind of neutered them.
Yeah.
Right. We've taken away their womanness and the changes of being a woman. The heroic tradition, as I said, says that if you have any symptoms at all, you're imbalanced and you really shouldn't be doing these things. And the wise woman tradition says, excuse me, have you ever seen the Venus of Willendorf? What's on the cover of that book there?
I know. I love it. There's a little Venus image. I actually think there's one a little further along.
And there's one in the back too. Look at those women. Now, when they were first found, they were said to be fertility goddesses.
Here's a larger one we can take a peek at.
This is not a fertility figure. This is not what we look like when we're pregnant. This is a woman who's in her 70s. There are so many of these found all through you know, the Neolithic places. I mean, so many that it seemed like perhaps each person had one or more of them. And these are postmenopausal women. These are postmenopausal women from 20 to 30,000 years ago saying, yes, it's natural. You can do it.
Yes. And in fact, you know, something I love about your work is it really talks about this time being one in which we're moving into greater alignment, greater power. There's actually, just to jump to it, there's a part where you're talking about, I was just like, oh my goodness, where menopause is a kind of enlightenment and hot flashes or kundalini training sessions, which
how is that?
I was just like, really now, Susan? How is that?
How is that? Well, you know, C and K sound alike, don't they? So if we wrote Kundalini with a C instead of a K, we'd say it the same, right? Kundalini.
Yeah. I know where we're going.
is it Tong Kwai or Dong Kwai? So that d sound is the same too. So K-U-N-D, you can exchange the K for a C and the D for a T. Mm-hmm. And so now we know where Kundalini lives. Kundalini lives in the Kund. And if you have a Kund, that's where your Kundalini is. If you do not have a Kund, then your Kundalini lives in your spine.
Yeah, I love it. You have a beautiful problem image is in there.
The books are written by people who don't have Kunds.
Yeah.
And if you don't have one, you don't know about Kundalini, really. So think about how many men right now are sitting praying for one hot flash. They want to feel the creative, generative power of the universe surging through them. Yeah. Yeah, that's a hot flash. That is a hot flash. You know, when we're young, the energy, the chi, the veritas, whatever you want to call it, is in us and with us, like we're like fish in water. You say to a fish, well, how do you think the water is? And the fish goes, what water?
Yeah.
Right. So kids don't have any sense of energy as being different than them. And then we get to puberty. And what happens is that an energy gate at the bottom of the spine opens up. And that allows energy to move into the generative organs so that we can now make babies. Mm-hmm. For the little boy, that energy rises up. It rises up. He knows that it's definitely that energy. For the little girl, the energy accumulates, and then is pushed out in menstruation. Mm. So we go in this cycle of the energy accumulating, and then being pushed down and back to the earth. And it accumulates, and oh, that week before, where there's so much of it, and then we push it back. And the same thing when we get pregnant, and even longer accumulating and growing, and then pushing it back out. So there's this cycle, there's this movement of the energy up and then back down and out. At menopause, the gate at the bottom of the spine closes. Mm-hmm. The energy still comes in, but it cannot go down and out. Yeah. So it has to go up and out. And that's a hot flash. Mm-hmm. And so those hot flashes are training your energy to go in that spiraling Kundalini path that takes your generative energy that has created earthbound things. And that earthbound gate is now closed to you. It's never closed to a man. His earthbound gate is always open, so he never gets this, right? He's always capable of generating more form. But we get to a place and no, you're not generating any form. Now this energy is going to go up through here and you're generating in different ways.
Yes.
And if we use like a 7-chakra system, it's not that the energy moves through each chakra in turn. In fact, what happens is that if there's any energy center in your body where there's a holding pattern, then the Kundalini is going to shake it up really hard. One of my friends was married to an art dealer, and she and I both agreed that he sold really bad art. We really did not like the art he sold at all. But it sure afforded her a really lavish lifestyle. And so she's in menopause, and they have a client over for dinner. And she says to the client, she says, why don't you buy some nice art for your money?
It sounds like her throat chakra was not closed.
Well, it's later on, you know, he says to her, and, you know, they're in bed, and he says, dear, he says, you should not, you know, like, put off the clients this way. You know, we need, like, your participation here. And she says, I don't think I can lie anymore. He says, what? She says, I think we need a divorce. She says, I'm obviously not the right girl for you. You need somebody who can do this, and I can't. So, you see, when that Kundalini gets to your throat chakra, it is either open and you start telling the truth, or you're on thyroid medicine. The largest selling drug in the United States.
Yeah. And to add to that, the sort of when women are in menopause, often, you know, that the power that's coming through, the truth speaking, the energy, the things that are falling aside. I think you speak about this a little bit in your book too. It's been my experience with the people I work with that our gifts and our skills and our abilities to see through the layers of reality or just to see that something's a farce falls away. And it's like, oh yeah, there's clarity.
Right. Yeah. So it, you know, it might be your heart that is hit first by the Kundalini, and you look down and your shirt is going thump, 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 and you go, thank goodness for motherwort. Right. Do you have your bottle of motherwort tincture nearby?
I don't have it nearby. No, but motherwort, actually, I would love this, Susan. Would you tell us some of what would be useful for women who are in menopause? And I know there's different aspects. One of the things,
well, we've already established the 5 nourishing herbal infusions. If you do nothing else, then start making those nourishing herbal infusions and drinking them. You'll be amazed, really, at how much better you feel altogether. And then you might want to have a few allies on hand in case you get into a dicey situation.
Right. And I just want to name for menopause, having hot flashes, sleep, trouble with sleeping, weight, body changes, osteoporosis, dryness in the vagina, less interest in sex. Like, I mean, there's a pretty big gamut. And what are some of the other ones you're aware of? I mean,
one of the most important ones that you want to have some allies on hand for is bleeding. I talked to thousands and thousands of menopausal women, and almost every single one either had drip, 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 drip for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, long time, right? Which gets exhausting. Or as one woman put it, the 3-foot puddle.
Right.
Which is terrifying. I will tell you that the vast majority of these women experience this once in their menopause journey. It's not like they had a 3-foot puddle of blood and then the next month that happened again.
Right. Yes.
But you want to have herbs that can stop that bleeding, whether it's a drip drip or a big flood. You want to have herbs because unchecked menopausal bleeding is right up there as a big reason that they steal women's uteruses. And the herbs are very, very effective.
So which ones
I think they're on page like 2 or 3 of the book. You open the book.
Yeah. The book is
right, and there's a big like box with stars and black lines, and it says bleeding, bleeding, bleeding right here. Look here, get these herbs now, right? Shepherd's purse, witch hazel, lady's mantle, You don't have to get all of them. If you have one of them, that will work. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have choices, right? And because some things work for one better for one person than another, but any one of them will help stop that bleeding. And if you're in the middle of a big bleed, you don't want to be trucking off to the health food store and ask if they have shepherd's purse. So this is the kind of thing, really, you know, you're just going to buy a couple of things just on spec and may you not have to use them.
Right? And this is part of
give them to your younger sister or whatever.
You're talking to us about how to prepare. So we're not just in response to, but we're actually, we've created, I mean, I love this, like the wise woman speaking and saying, if you're asking if you're in menopause, then it's time.
Then yes, you are.
Are. And it's actually time to prepare. And there's some things you can do that will help the whole long arc of the time. Right.
Through because just like puberty, it's a decade, it's 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I ask women to think about the girl they were at 10 years old. And then to think about the woman they were even at 15. Mm. And how much you changed. And you will be less recognizable to yourself. Mm-hmm. 5 years after menopause than you were 5 years after puberty. Yeah. It's hard to believe. And you couldn't tell that 10-year-old that. She wouldn't have believed it. And yet, there she is at 15 with a whole other set of priorities. Just so. So motherwort is one of my favorite all-round remedies. It's in the mint family. Mm-hmm. And like many mints, it helps calm us down. It absolutely stops panic attacks. It slows down and gets rid of anxiety. Mm. It's really Leonurus cardiaca, the lion-hearted. It is fabulous for the heart. My sweetheart has a heart condition. As a matter of fact, so far as we know, he's the oldest male member of his family back for about 500 years. Oh. Most men in his family die in their early 50s of heart attacks. He's 77. He is under some pretty fierce medical attention. And because of that, we can actually see what motherwort is doing. Because they're doing angiograms and they're putting dye into his cardiovascular system. And so we can see, the doctors are saying, would you look at this? Those herbs you're taking are causing new blood vessels to grow to your heart. And we're not just talking about little capillaries. It definitely, for women, motherwort is a great ally to the heart because it enriches that capillary bed. Women hardly ever clog up the big blood vessels. It's the little ones that we get, and that doesn't show up on the tests. And so motherwort is a real ally for the woman's heart. And not just, you know, our physical heart, but that nervous heart. We might get it sometimes too. It also turns out that motherwort is a great cancer preventative herb. It's one of the reasons I love herbs. I always feel like I'm the kid who comes to school with 72 colors and the sharpener in the box. And the doctors, they just have 8 colors. It's like my herbs do so many things.
They do so many things. Oh my goodness. Would the motherwort help with anxiety? Would that also help with sleep? Because that's one of the biggest complaints I get from women is that having trouble with sleep.
Let's take ourselves back 20,000 years to the African savanna. Okay, we're living out there on the savanna and there's predators out there, huh? Lions? Mm-hmm. Lions. And worse even than the lions. Who chases the lions away from the prey that they've brought down? The jackals and the hyenas. What are we going to do? How are we going to get through the night? What would you propose? We've got children. The jackals and hyenas could come and steal our kids.
We've got to stay awake.
To do what? Have a fire. We know how to have a fire. And those animals don't like fire. So someone has to put the wood on the fire. The next time you wake up at night, you say, I'm the one who's putting the wood on the fire this time. And you get up and you go to the bathroom. You change your sheets if you need to. You put whatever wood has to be put on the fire. And then you go back to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, Susan. Yes.
Because it's like puberty. It's like pimples. It doesn't last forever. And I think about menopause and it's a change. Well, golly gee, change is actually pretty easy, right? I want to change my headband. I rip off my headband and put on a different one. I want to change my shirt. I just pick up a different shirt and put on a different shirt. Change is pretty easy. How about transformation? Okay, that's more than change. If I want to transform myself, I'm going to have to dye my hair, cut it off, or get different colored contacts, or I don't know, paint my fingernails, right? Something a little heftier than just change my shirt. But menopause isn't change, and menopause isn't transformation. Menopause is metamorphosis, the biggest form change known. Mm-hmm. So we think of metamorphosis and caterpillar to butterfly, right?
Yeah.
So when the caterpillar is going to become a butterfly, it goes into a chrysalis, yes? And it invites all of its friends in with it?
No, it does it all by itself.
And it shows up to work on time?
As a matter of fact,
I remember turning to Brook Medicine Eagle at one point, and I said, how can we go around and tell menopausal women that they shouldn't do anything, and look at all we're doing? And she said, shh, just keep doing it. So I'm certainly not saying, quit your job, but what I am saying is, this is your time. And the first ritual in that book is a ritual where you gather everyone around and you say, golly gee, I sure have loved feeding you and clothing you and taking care of you. And guess what? It stops now for a while. Not doing any of it. Don't ask me. In some places in South America, the sacred is woven. It's not painted or danced or spoken or sung. It's woven. And the young women, before they bleed, the maidens prepare the fibers. They ret them, they card them, they dye them, they spin them, they get the fibers ready for the weaving. And then from the time in your life, from the time when you begin your bleeding until the time when you stop your bleeding, your fertile years, your mother years, you weave. You take the fibers that have been prepared by the maidens and you weave. And at the end of your fertile time, you get up from the loom and you go off. You go off to the cave of grandmother growth. And when you've completed your transformation, you come back. Now, I don't know if you know enough about weaving, Carrie, to know what you do when you come back.
To the weaving?
For the weaving.
No, I don't think I know.
So imagine someone weaving.
Yes.
What is she weaving on?
A loom, and there's usually a warp and a weft.
A warp and a weft. Someone must lay the warp and the weft, the invisible threads that predicate how the weaving will come out but are not seen. This is what the crone now does.
Yeah.
She provides the threads that allow the weaving to occur. She lays down the pattern that will be visible in the weaving. She knows what needs to continue and what needs to stop.
Yeah.
She holds to make that weaving strong. Makes you cry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's such a different view of being a woman and
the value, right? The value in that.
Love you, right? I remember grandmother saying to me, Susan, when our teachers get to be in their 80s, we always have them teach in threes. So if one of them falls asleep, the other two can carry on. And I thought, that's so loving of oneself. Yeah. Not this kind of like, fight it, I'm still 20. No, whoa. you're 80. Sometimes you're going to fall asleep, and that's okay because you got a co-teacher. Yeah. No, you're not going to be a fertile woman again. Mm-hmm. And that brings up sadness. Yeah. Even if you never wanted a kid, even if you've had plenty of kids, giving up all of that possibility is sad. If it might be sad for a moment, it might be. I mean, I was just walking down an ordinary street, kind of feeling ordinary, and there was a woman carrying a baby, and I found myself bawling.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, my friend Marie Summerwood said, there's an old woman I am beginning to know. There's an old woman I am beginning to know. Out of my life and into my cave I'll go. Death to me, the maiden. Death to me, the mother. Honor to me, the wise old crone. Here to change this world. There's an old woman I am beginning to know. There's an old woman I am beginning to know. Out of my cave, back into my life, I will go.
Yes. Susan, thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for helping to reweave the healing cloak of the ancients.
Thank you for being the one to set the warp and the on the loom.
Yeah.
So we know what the pattern is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carry on.
This has been a beautiful, powerful conversation. Thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your life force and this vision that you've held and that you're holding.
Yes.
You know, you teach apprentices, you have an amazing following in an incredible school and these incredible books, and you've made this time in your busy day. Actually, it's quite late at night for you and it's early for me. I'm in Hawaii and you're in New England, and you know, it's just amazing. I want to just hold that realization for a moment. It's like, what an incredible big world, what an amazing experience this is that you and I are able to communicate in this way at this time. There's so much beauty here, and deeply appreciative of the work you're doing on the world, Susan. Thank you. I'm wanting to say that if you want to find Susan's work, there's a couple different ways to reach her. One is through her website, which is susanweed.com. And just to clarify, your name is spelled with two U's, S-U-S-U-N, like the sun.
Yes, but we also own Susanne Weed. So spell it or misspell it, you'll get there.
You can spell it either way and it will come. Great.
Yeah.
And that's for workshops and apprenticeships. And then wisewomanmentor.com has your free, your herbal zine and also your mentorship offering. So those are two wonderful ways to look up Susan's work.
Actually, you'll find my books at wisewomanbookshop.com.
Great. So there's a whole
easiest way to find the books.
And your gift for us has been so generous. We have an audio of the menopause from Three Directions. Thank you. Thank you. I just love that part of what you're offering is a bigger piece for women to be able to take away with and explore. Feel free to watch this video a number of times. I think you'll catch the herbs over and over again because you just dropped a whole wealth of information for us right here. This has been a really, really generous, beautiful little journey. Thank you, Susan. And thank you all of the wonderful people who are here, curious, expanding your minds, opening your eyes, opening your hearts, wanting to live deeper, brighter, more alive lives. Thank you. Aloha.
Green blessings, everybody.